Good morning or good evening, whichever time you're listening to this program. This is Morning for the Masters here on TGRN. For those listening on Bobway Media, you'll recognize us as the Uncensored Dads, the Uncensored Word program. With me, as always, is Brother Matthew Olson from the Jim Monroe Congregation there in Lee's Summit, Missouri, and myself, Russ Earl, from the Ooligah Church of Christ here in Ooligah, Oklahoma. We thank you for being here with us today. We are going to begin today by looking at the topic of the Christian responsibilities towards self. And that is, you know, what kind of responsibilities do we have towards our own selves, our own lives, and really our own image and how we are viewed by God. And if we look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, the Bible says here, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." You know, we think about our own lives and our own image, we have to, as a Christian, we have to think about how are we viewed by God? Are we approved of in the sight of God? Do we need to make some changes? And I'll be the first to say there's always things I can change, things I can improve. You know, I was listening to some lessons of the day from a lectureship, and I'll tend to do that sometimes when I'm going for a walk or something. But and as I was listening to it, this gentleman was talking about, you know, the idea of selfishness and how people can be selfish in very various different ways. And I thought, you know what? I can agree with that. And I was applying that to myself, not to other people, but, you know, there's ways in which know that I'm selfish and in various different ways and for reasons and never a good one. But really, the first question we want to start off with here is, what do you think of yourself? You know, that's we take these things seriously because that's how we want to approach this. So we want to be serious when we think about how, you know, what responsibilities we have toward ourselves and what do you think of yourself. And someone, you know, if I'm asking that question to myself, I think, well, I have plenty of things I need to work on. You know, that's just being honest. And, you know, there's always individuals who, you know, who think highly of you for various different reasons. But we ourselves, we know ourselves pretty well. Of course, God knows us the best. But when we look into the mirror, and I don't mean physically, but when we stop and we're thinking about our own life, we think about our behavior, our action, our words, you know, what comes to our mind? Do we think, yeah, I'm doing pretty good? Or do we stop and think, boy, I have some stuff I need to work on? You know, when we think about ourselves, maybe we think about our attitude. We think about our, you know, how quick we are to anger, maybe things that upset us. You know, I'm an Arkansas Razorback fan because I grew up in Arkansas, but I had to stop watching Arkansas basketball for a while because I get angry because, well, they like to lose a lot. Apparently not this year, though. They're number 8 right now in basketball. But anyway, but yeah, those types of things would anger me. I mean, silly. No, not like insane with anger, but I get frustrated. But there are things in life that we have to realize in times we have to stop and think, okay, you know, where am I at in my spiritual walk? You know, what are some things I can work on? And we look here in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." If we're honest with ourselves, we're always going to find things we can work on, always going to find room for improvement. And we think about, you know, the second question we want to think about here before I turn it back turn it to Matt here is, are you perfect or flawed in your own mind? Well, myself, you know, I can only speak for myself. I can tell you I am flawed. You know, if you ever pick up a piece of maybe glass or something from a store, you know, it's going to be you're going to buy one that's cracked. But if you're not careful, you're going to notice one that maybe perhaps has scratches in it. Or it has, you know, scrapes here or there. And you think, well, I don't want that one because it's got this many scrapes here, this many scrapes here. I don't have to mess with, you know, fixing that. And when I say a flawed mind, I don't mean that we are living in sin. I just mean, are there areas in which we can work on? Because something we have to remember is that the mind is where so many battles begin, where so many battles take place. And so we have to ask ourselves, where, you know, how is our mind before God? Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment, and I'm going to let Brother Matt add anything you like as we continue looking at Christians' responsibilities towards self. Brother Matt?
Yeah, some of those questions, like you said, what do you think of yourself? It's kind of like, how do you think of yourself as a godly example, right? Or are you perfect or flawed in your own mind? Are we perfected in God's image? Yes, yes, we are part of God's image. And the thing is, yes, we are flawed in our own mind. How hard are you on yourself? I think of just walking through my daily life of, you know, we kind of need to take an instance and say, hey, what am I doing throughout my day to honor God, honor God in a great manner? Sometimes I think of myself as I'm too hard on myself, because some things it's like I want it to be perfect, but nothing is ever perfect. The only perfect true thing is Christ. But we get on our high horse and we just think, man, this is like take for instance what I do. I mean, wiring up a security panel or anything like that, I have to have my wires just perfect. It's like an OCD. But in the grand scheme of things, does that really matter? You know, and I think here we're talking about perfected or flawed in your own mind of, are we perfect? Are we a perfect example of Christ? No, we're never going to be perfect. That's why Christ died on the cross for us. And I come to think on, I call it, I guess, Christian grace is a 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. We don't have to read it all, but I'm going to read verses 5 through 6. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. How are we in all these basically Christian graces? And the one that comes to mind for me is, how are we in love towards our Christian brothers and sisters? But also, I mean, I know we're talking about ourselves, but we still have to kind of like self-evaluate ourselves each and every day, like go through a self-evaluation. Talking to a brother who he does this every day, and he's taught me how to kind of go through it and self-evaluate yourself. We need that self-evaluation of, am I working for the kingdom? Am I doing what is right? Am I doing what's right for my family? Am I doing what's right for me as a husband, as a father? And we need to start picking those things out and kind of realizing, are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we doing that? Are we being a godly example? So I think that is so important towards our Christian responsibilities and ourselves. And I love that Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Because what comes within our heart comes out. I mean, it does. I mean, that's basically what God is saying. For in my heart is what I am. And if you're thinking of yourself as, you know, you're down and out, and you're thinking, I'm a terrible person, I'm a this, you know, your day can go downhill fast. I think we just need to stay positive is what we need to do. So,
you know, I'm reminded also of 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, where the Apostle Paul says, examine yourselves as whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you, indeed you are disqualified? Now, of course, putting in context, test yourselves. He's not trying to say, see how close you can get to him without sinning, or, you know, see how much temptation you can endure. He's not talking about that. He's talking about measuring yourself up to the test of faithfulness, looking at the Bible. For us today, looking at the Bible and saying, okay, this is where I need to work at. You know, it's like you may remember in school, I always hated these things, those standardized tests. You know, I had to circle in those little bubbles, you know, and you know, machines grade those, but in some of the older movies, you'd see where they lay down some kind of little template over it, and they could see quickly where someone, you know, was right or wrong. But I think about, you know, if we had to do that for our faithfulness, and if we were honest, and we colored in on the circles where we're at, and then we lay down the template, how much of it would match up? And I mean, that's what we do with the Bible, right? We look at our lives and we lay down the Bible over our lives as our template and say, you know, okay, wow, there's some areas I can do better. Well, there's some areas I can improve, and maybe some areas you think, wow, I'm not even close. You know, we look here at 2 Corinthians 13:5. He says, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. And when we're talking about these things, if we're not honest, then it's not going to matter. You know, people today many times won't even do this. And if we're honest, we can always say, I should do this more often, that we examine ourselves and think about things. And sometimes we think about things after the fact and we go, ooh, boy, okay, I shouldn't have done that. I could have done this better, whatever. And here, this idea, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. You know, we want to make sure that we are being faithful to God, because if we're not, we have to correct it, right? I mean, 1 John 1 and verse 9, there's a nice little interruption from the computer, tells us here to, 1 John 1 verse 9 tells us that God will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? When we repent of our sins. But if we look here in 2 Corinthians 13:5, unless we examine ourselves, we're not going to be honest about where we need to ask God for forgive us of things. You know, maybe there's some things we don't realize we're doing this wrong until we sit down and we examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. And so, you know, we have to think of ourselves before God. We have to think about our own mind, if it's perfect or if it's flawed. And if we're honest, no one has a perfect mind. And so that tells us that, yes, there's going to be flaws in there. You know, arrogance can be one of those flaws. The idea that, you know, that we can say or do whatever we want and well, you can't do that. That's a flawed mind, right? And so even if something is meant in jest or, you know, not being serious or whatever, doesn't mean, you know, some things we have to be careful, right? We don't have that flawed mind. And like Brother Matt was mentioning here in 2 Peter with these, as we call them commonly, you know, the Christian graces or some of these characteristics which we want to have. Looking back here at 2 Peter chapter 1, it would help if I open when my Bible program works great. I can actually get to it. 2 Peter chapter 1, and looking at verse 11 here. Is that right? Yeah, 2 Peter 1. I've done this before. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Here we go. Scrolling down to verse 3, it says, as this divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. To me, that is huge. Which, you know, it means exactly what it says. He has given to us all things that pertain to this life and to being a godly person before God. And he says here, who called us by glory and virtue. God calls us through, we know, as the Apostle Paul talks about, through the gospel. But he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 there. And so we think about all these things we have to add, like Brother Matt mentioned, you know, verses 5 and following here, you know, diligence and faith and virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness, morality, kindness and love, all those things. None of those things are easy. You pick any of those things out of a hat and you tell someone, okay, work on this for a month, it's going to be brutal, because if we're honest, none of them are easy. You know, yep. add to your faith, virtue. Well, faith is the idea of that obedient faith, right? But virtue, I mean, that itself alone, the idea of Strong's defines it here, a virtuous course of thought, feeling, and action, a particular moral excellence as modesty and purity. So the idea there being what? Having that sound, pure mind. Well, whew, every battle, and my brother-in-law and I have talked about this before because he's done lessons on it, and we've talked about it in different formats and things. Everything begins in the mind. And if we can get our mind right, that's where we begin to move forward. You know, like we talked about this question here, are you perfect or flawed in your own mind? Well, if we're honest, we're going to be flawed. Every single person is going to find flaws. And so we work to correct those things. And so we think about virtue. We think about knowledge. We're talking about, of course, Bible knowledge. You know, all these things we are trying to work on. It becomes kind of like a laundry list of things we can try to move forward with. And so I'm going to pause here for just a second. And I'm going to let Brother Matt add anything he likes as we continue looking at areas in which and ways in which we can become, I might say, for lack of better terms, maybe more sturdy in our mind and more increasing our own faith in God. Brother Matt?
Yeah, you think about the mind is a very powerful thing. I mean, the mind can you can run with something in your mind and you can tell yourself, hey, you know, I think I'm getting sick, or I think this and this and this. And your mind just runs with it. It flows with it. That's kind of like what anxiety and worriness is. But a couple of things is the mind is so powerful, and it's our central computer of our body, right? That's what God gave us. And the thing is what we have to realize is we are not perfect and we are flawed. And one thing is, too, is I want to look at different things of self-image, self-esteem, and ego of just dealing with responsibilities toward ourselves. Is self-image, the idea one has of one's ability, appearance, and personality. Self-esteem, confidence in one's own worth or ability, self-respect. And ego is a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. So a lot of those things is how do you perceive yourself in yourself? Self-image. You perceive yourself as in your appearance, your abilities, your personality. Do you see yourself as good, bad? You know, your personality's mean, angry, or happy. How's your self-esteem? Are you happy in what you do? Are you excited for the day ahead? Or are you just gloomy all the time? And your ego is very important, too. Are you kind of like what they say, an egomaniac? Or is it all about you and you're the best at everything? And that's what we have to self-evaluate ourselves. And I want to read Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's kind of what we talked about, too, with Proverbs 23:7. What we think of ourselves, you know, we can tell ourselves that, hey, you know, we're awesome, we're great. And our mind will run with that. But the moment we hit a speed bump or a bump in our life and we go, oh, man, we're going down a wrong path, our mind can run with that also. We have to rely on kind of, like I said, God's kind of providence of God's got this, you know. But I mean, we still have to do things in our lives. But God is so powerful and loving and knowing that he's got our back at all times. And that's what we have to realize is, man, you have to think of yourself as, hey, I'm a Christian and I have the most powerful being in the world who's got my back at all times. Are you perfect? Yeah. Or, I mean, no. Are you flawed? Yeah, we are. But these virtues, these Christian graces that we have, I mean, and like you said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's giving us this. He's giving us these things. And we got to think to ourselves, wow, God loves me enough to have confidence in me to do these things. And that's pretty powerful, man. I mean, you wrap your mind around that and you're like, wow. You know, it's almost like, you know, you say, I would run through a wall for this guy. Kind of like when you're an athlete and your coach is just like, rah, 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 pumping you up. God's trying to pump us up to be like, hey, we can do anything with God. And that's what we have to tell ourselves is we got the best coach. We've got the best being that is backing us. And that's pretty powerful to wrap your mind around.
You know, and like you said, that the mind can convince you of things and of anything. I mean, from small to significant, right? I mean, if you think about something long enough, you can be convinced of something or you can be totally, you know, unsure about something. As an example, you know, I know, you know, Matt's mentioned some great examples as well, but for the first time in how many years of the day, you know how trucks will, big trucks, their tires will blow out and they'll leave that stuff everywhere on the road. Well, I was driving on the road and I saw a piece of tire and I thought I moved enough out of the way. Well, I didn't. I clipped part of it, right? So I hear it bing up into the truck and I thought, oh, that's a blown tire out there. I was, you know, that's it. Well, I get home and I check and no, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it at all. But I was convinced that thing was going to be leaking. I was going to get, by the time I get home, it's going to be flat. You know, I'm listening. I'm like, oh, I think I hear a noise. And I didn't, was it real? No, none of it was real. I thought, well, you know, is the truck getting, you know, low on this side? All kinds of stuff. No, it's not. Nothing was wrong with it. You know, everything is just fine. Dumb luck, really. But, you know, you convince yourself that, oh, man, these things, you know, everything is just horrible and everything's going bad. You know, nobody likes me, nobody cares about me, and those types of things. And I get really frustrated sometimes, only with myself, if I allow that to happen, because that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to be convinced that nobody cares about you, nobody loves you, nobody likes you, whatever. And it's so funny, one of the things that is so humorous sometimes that, you know, use this example, we'll be so convinced people don't like us, and we'll post something on Facebook or whatever it may be. And this is just one example. And we'll be so convinced that, you know, nobody cares about something, and we'll post a picture of us, you know, some little selfie or whatever. I don't take selfies usually. I post pictures of animals or something weird. But anyway, and you'll get all these little likes and thanks and comments from all your friends. And to me, that's a good reminder of saying, look, it's not what you think. There's so many people, including God, who care about you. You know, even the sinner who's in the deepest, darkest place, John 3:16 tells us that God cares about that person. He wants them to change. There's no doubt about it. But he cares for that person. I mean, look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That is a huge statement. To try to put that and to really understand what that means is that God has done every single thing possible to save mankind. But we will allow ourselves, because of a bad day, because of a bad conversation, because of a bad day at work, some goofball cuts you off on the road, whatever, we'll be convinced the world is just against us. We turn on the news, I never encourage that anymore, and it's going to ruin our day. But we forget that loving God who was there that morning, he's still there. And when I think about Job, that was one of Job's problems, all the ordeal that Job went through. He was convinced in his mind that God had made him his enemy. He says that, you know, God, no, I have become his enemy. I mean, if we're honest, if you look at that whole situation, that's what Satan wanted Job to think. That, you know, his lousy friends are there telling him all the time to repent. This was all your own doing. This is why your sons and daughters were all killed. This is why all your stuff is destroyed, because you have done something wrong. It's all your fault, Job. Awesome guys, right? And so all those things happen. And then what happens, he starts doubting God. And I think if we're honest, that's what Satan wants. He wants us to doubt. He wants us to question. And that's why it's so important for us to go to services on a regular, faithful basis, to go to Bible classes, to go all these other things, because we are surrounded by other Christians and we are reminded at those types of things that we are not alone. We are not the only ones fighting the fight of faith. There are other brothers and sisters in Christ who are doing the same thing, who are having struggles, who have made mistakes, who have done great things, who have made and also have turned around and made horrible mistakes that they are trying to correct and make right. And so we are not alone. The biggest battle, as like Brother Matt and I have been talking about here, is going to be in our mind. But if we can get it through, as my father would say, if you can get it through your thick head, that God is not leaving the Christian. He has never left the Christian. In fact, there in the Psalms, the psalmist says, you know, I have been young, I have been old, but I have not seen a righteous forsaken, nor has his sinner begging bread, which means he's never seen God look at a faithful person and say, no, I've had enough and walk away. That's never happened. But what has happened is we begin to doubt and we begin to walk away from God. And that's what Satan wants. He gets in our mind, and he wants us to begin to doubt. He wants us to live in fear. He wants us to question everything and everybody's motives, everybody's statements, everybody's likes and dislikes and comments and this, that, and the other, and begin to doubt. But if you look here in Proverbs chapter 4, looking at verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. It means when we say things sometimes, we are literally speaking from the heart. I don't believe every time we say something it's from the heart. Sometimes, you know, otherwise you couldn't joke around, right? You couldn't tease somebody because you couldn't say, oh, I'm just joking. But the heart really is where everything is. It doesn't mean that everybody who makes a mistake is completely evil in their heart. No, that's not the case. But the heart or the mind is where everything begins. We see that in 2 Peter. We see that in Proverbs 23. We see that here in Proverbs 4 and verse 23. And so we have to try our best to control our mind and not let Satan in, to not let him into our mind. Now, that's so much easier said than done, right? I mean, we can sit here and say all day, hey, don't let Satan in, don't let Satan in. And then we try to put it in motion, and what happens? We go throughout the day. We turn off this program, and we start going throughout the day, and things happen, and we begin to question anything and everything that comes down the pipe. And so we cannot allow that to happen to ourselves. Like Brother Matt mentioned, this idea of self-image, the self-image or how we view ourselves, the idea of one has and one's abilities, appearance, and personality. I try to keep appearance out of that because I don't like to look in mirrors anymore, especially as I get closer to 40. you know, I think of one's abilities. And, you know, for instance, you know, Bob Way Media, all the podcasts and things. And I just use this as an example. I've had plenty of people come up to me at lectureships and things and comment on it. And I try to say each and every time that Bob Way Media is not one person. I mean, it's not me. It's not Matt. It's not just one person. It is all these other men and ladies who have sat down and given up so much time to put out these Bible lessons. It's also these congregations who have put support behind it financially and spiritually. You know, and like this here in Gospel Radio Network, TGRN, it's not just one person. You know, there's hosts and multiple hosts just in this one program here, you know, Morning for the Masters, you know. Multiple hosts every single day. And what is that showing? That it takes multiple people to do these types of things. And no doubt we can think individuals, but we have to remember, and we ourselves, we are involved in it, that rarely is a good work one person. It's multiple people. When we think about our abilities and our appearance and our personality, that we want to make sure that we have an honest opinion of ourselves. And I try very hard not to appear arrogant or to be arrogant. And, you know, sometimes my wife will tell me, well, you know, you said such and such, and that kind of sound a little arrogant. And I'll stop. It did? Well, I didn't mean it like that. She's, well, I know that, but it can sound arrogant. And it will irritate me because I don't like to sound arrogant. And if someone is, you know, arrogant people, I will not be around them very long. If I think they're arrogant, we're not going to be buddies, you know. I try not to talk too much about, you know, me, myself, and I. And so if you're around people who are like that, about me, myself, and I have done this and this and this and this. Okay, it's nice talking to you, man, you know, and I'm probably going to try to be done. But we have to be aware of our own self-image. And I'm going to stop there because I'm talking an awful lot. I'm going to let Matt say anything he'd like as we continue to look at this idea of self-image and really just that battle of the mind, and that's where it all begins. Brother Matt?
Buddy, I don't mind you talking. It's all good, man. But you're talking about, like, the self-image of people and the self – I have a hard time with that, too, of – just egoness with some people. But I had a brother come up to me and he's like, you know, I don't like to, how should I say this? I don't like to get praised, or I don't like to get put up on like a, hey, great job, man. You know, it's just uncomfortable. But he's like, you know, you have to sometimes just say thanks, you know, don't brush it off, because maybe like when somebody's giving you like a pat on the back, or they really mean it and it's really help them out. But I am not one for self-appraise or self any of that stuff, and the ego. And I'm like you, when somebody's talking about themselves, I just gotta go, hey, I gotta excuse myself a bit, because I am totally not that way. And but a brother of mine was saying, hey man, good job. And I'm like, nah. He's like, hey, you need to just say thank you. He's like, I'm giving, he didn't mean it in a mean way, he's like, I'm giving you a compliment and I really look up to you, and I don't know. I'm kind of like, I don't like hearing like praise for myself or whatever, but he's just like, just tell those people, hey, thanks. I appreciate that. Now, the thing is if you let that go to your head and you sit back and go, yeah, I'm good. Hey, all these people look up to me. That's ego. And that's wrong. That's Satan coming in. Now, if we build on that and be like, all right, how can I make myself a better person? Like it says, take inventory of yourself. And it says, are we bearing fruit for Christ? Are you developing habits, attitudes day by day, which will make you a better Christian and worker for Christ? In John 15:5-8, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So without Christ, we can't do anything. If we didn't have Christ, how are we going to bear his fruit? And that's what we need to kind of realize, is we should be doing this all for a purpose. You know, it's not about my own self. It's, how am I building up Christ's church? How am I building up God's kingdom? Am I doing it for myself? Am I doing it for a pat on the back and say, hey, way to go, Matt. You're doing a great job for God's kingdom. No, it's for God's glory. And that's what we need to realize, is, you know, just do it for God's glory and not your own. I mean, I don't like the ego of it. And that's kind of like how it says is, how is your Christian responsibility toward yourself? You know, and I just, those questions we go back on. What do you think of yourself? What do you think of yourself in the kingdom? I know a couple preachers that when they preach, it's, well, I, no, or you, it's we, we're all one. So, and it's a self-evaluation of ourselves and our Christian brothers and sisters. So I know I'm going off on a tangent, but I'll turn it back to you, Rob.
No, you're fun. You know, I have a bad habit sometimes of using myself as an example when I'm in the pulpit, but I like to believe that 99% of the time it's because I'm poking fun at myself. You know, I have no problem when I tell people, you know, you have to be careful when you're doing this, and I'll give an example of something I've done. You know, like I've done a repair, and I couldn't figure out why something wasn't working, and I realized I was turning it to the left and not to the right. I'm like, why isn't this pipe tightening up? Yeah. You know, I use those kinds of examples. You know, we get frustrated about things we don't understand or don't realize there's something going on. I'll use that example. But, you know, but you're exactly right. You know, I think about, I believe it's called the World Video Bible School. You know, beginning or the end of their videos, it always says, to God be the glory. And that's exactly right. I mean, that is biblical. Everything we do, like Matt was saying, it needs to be, you know, it's not because we want to do it or trying to gain praise, rather, I should say, but because we want God to receive the glory. You know, if you look at Matthew chapter 6 here, when Christ is in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about that very thing. And he talks about, you know, how you do your charitable deeds, how you even pray when you're in public, you know, all these different things, those who are fasting, how they're laying up trying to get, you know, praise from men. He says, surely they have their reward. I don't believe that's in a positive sense. I mean, they'll get their reward, quote unquote, you know. But we have to do things for the glory of God. You know, by the way, media, for example, and Gospel Radio Network here, what is the purpose of it? To try to get the gospel message in the form of a Bible lesson out to people, right? I mean, the purpose is the Bible. What are we talking about here? We're not talking about me, myself, and I. We're not talking about sports. We're not definitely not talking about politics. we're talking about the Bible, because the Bible holds the key. The scriptures hold the message that's going to save mankind, the gospel. You know, like the Apostle Paul says there, Romans 1, 16 and 17, he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, if we can control our mind as a Christian, the Christian can control their mind, they're going to do what? They're going to remain faithful to God, which means if you remain faithful to God, you get to go to heaven. That's why we're talking about these things. Romans 2, verse 10, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. And we can't be faithful to God if our mind is not right. You know, one of the things I used to hear, and you see it on movies sometimes, sports movies, I think it was on Remember the Titans. I can't remember now every line for that movie. I've seen it enough times. You think I remember every line. But, you know, he says something to the effect of, you got to get your mind right. Or, boy, you better get your mind right. In the Christian, it's the same way. We have to get our mind right. And we do that by going back to the Bible. We make a mistake, big, large, small. We think it's minuscule. It doesn't really matter. We go back to the Bible. We make it right. We go to God. We make it right. But this idea of the self-image, like Brother Matt and I have been talking, we have to have the proper self-image. And I think when I say that, I mean we have to know ourselves. We have to know who we are. You know, like one, I was listening to a comedian. He was talking about how he met this popular singer. And he said, the singer said such and such. And he goes, because he knows who he is. And that's right. We have to know who we are. We have to have a honest look at ourselves and know who we are. And, you know, no matter who praises us or who may mock us, we have to know who we are in the sense that we know who we are before God. We know our responsibilities. We know our abilities. We are honest with ourselves. We're not arrogant. We're humble people. We strive to be each and every day. And so we have to be able to understand that self-image. And this next one I think is very important as well, which goes right along with it, and that's self-esteem. And I'll be the first to tell you, and I'm trying to say I too much, but I like to use myself as an example because I make mistakes like anyone else. I think sometimes we're not careful. We hold elders and preachers and deacons up on a pedestal thinking they'll never make a mistake. They're perfect. You know, they don't make mistakes like I do. Oh, give me a break. All the time we make mistakes. As a preacher, I can say I make plenty of mistakes. as a younger man, I'm under 40, so I can still call myself a younger man. I make mistakes. This self-esteem, to me, when you make a mistake, it can hurt your self-esteem. Sin hurts your self-esteem. Swallowing your pride and admitting a mistake may hurt your self-esteem. But in the long run, it's going to save us. You know, self-esteem, there's nothing wrong with having your self-esteem hurt by admitting faults or being honest with yourself. Because if we have if our self-esteem is too high, we're going to be arrogant. We're going to be rude. We're going to be, as we said, sometimes we say cocky. But if we have a good self-esteem, we're going to be humble. We're not going to be arrogant, but we're not going to always be putting ourselves down. And so we want to make sure, or I think sometimes when we have a problem with self-esteem, we think, like I said before, we think people don't like us like they really do. We think, well, nobody likes me. Nobody wants to be my friend, blah, 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 blah. And what's interesting is 99% of the time that is completely false. You know, a lot of the times those who struggle with this idea of friends and the self-esteem, thinking we don't have any friends, well, the person who really doesn't have any friends has done so on purpose. You know, the person who sits out by themselves on purpose, the person who doesn't go to events, the church, person who just taking all these links to not have friends, and then they will turn around and say, well, you know, nobody likes me. Well, probably because nobody even really knows you, but self-esteem will convince you that nobody likes me. I don't have any real friends. Nobody really cares and things such as that. And that 99% of the time is not the case. If it is the case, it's probably because we have ensured that that is the case. That goes back to what I believe it's there in Proverbs talks about, he who has friends must himself be friendly. Self-esteem. Well, if we want to have friends and have people, enjoy our company, we got to be friendly as well. But self-esteem is such a big deal. And the confidence in one's own worth, abilities, and self-respect, we can't always be putting ourselves down and then be upset about having low self-esteem. We have to understand that we are not, I think the world is very good at this, painting this picture of who we ought to be, when in reality, it's not what God wants at all. So I'm going to stop there just a second. Let Brother Matt add anything you like as we continue looking at this idea of self-esteem as you think about the Christian responsibilities towards self.
Yeah, I mean, the confidence in one's own worth or ability. Shouldn't we have confidence in ourselves as Christians to know that God made us in his image, right? And we have to have enough self-respect in ourselves. And like you said about friends, yeah, you don't have friends. Well, maybe some people don't want to be friendly. We're supposed to be hospitable, right? We're supposed to bring others to Christ. How are you going to bring others to Christ if you're constantly going, nah, I don't want to be around you. Nope, not that person. Nope, 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 nope. But I mean, the self-esteem is one's own worth and ability. What are your abilities? We all have different abilities, and that's what we talk about at home too. In our home, is everybody's got their own abilities of different things that they do. If God made us all mindless robots and we all lived in the same home, we all lived in that's communism, but that's beside the point. But I mean, then we wouldn't we would all be the same. We'd all be doing the same thing. Our confidence would be in something else, but we need to have confidence in God the Father. That's what it comes down to. He made us in his own image, and realize that God loves us. And if your self-esteem is down, and if it's down, maybe you go talk to somebody about it. Maybe you communicate with somebody. You've got to get to be more hospitable as a Christian. We have to. We have to. So, but I think the self-respect thing comes from, how are you perceiving yourself? Are you, self-respect is, hey, I respect myself enough to say yes to these certain things, to say no to these certain situations. That's what a self-respect is. How do you respect yourself? And I just think with self-esteem, I've suffered with low self-esteem before. I mean, we all have, as maybe being in high school, or you're not around the popular crowd, you're not around this crowd or that crowd or the jock crowd or, you know, whatever it is, you know, but we need to realize that the one true thing that matters most is, how is God perceiving you? How is he going to perceive you or judge you in the end? And that's what we need to stay mindful of, and not worry about all these other things that come in the mix. Is because Satan is roaring around like a lion. He's trying to get you to doubt yourself. He's trying to get you to do all these things. And I mean, I just want to throw this in there. Three rules of life is know thyself, express thyself, and deny thyself. So just throwing that back to you, Russ.
Well, you know, that's right. We have to, those 3 points, we want to keep those, you know, those are good points to think about. You know, thinking about self-esteem, and like Matt was talking about as well, we think about, you know, one way to define this is looking at our own self-worth. And I'm reminded of Matthew 10, verse 29, where in following, where Christ says, "Are not 2 sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows." And what we find here is the idea that God, we are important to God. We matter to God. We matter to Christ. And if that is the case, in reality, that's all that matters. If we matter to God, and we do, then we are important. We are valuable. We have worth. You know, we think about the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep. What's going on? It's talking about trying to find something very important. Well, it's talking about finding people, right? The lost sheep, the 99 that are secure, the one that's not. Go and find that one. Because why? Because it matters. The lost coin, the person, you know, they search their whole house, and when they find it, they rejoice. But it's all talking about bringing back the unfaithful and bringing them into Christ. Well, we think about our self-esteem. How does that apply? Well, God wants us to know how important we are. That if we err, or we start feeling down, we start being hard on ourselves, overly hard on ourselves, God wants us to remember that we are indeed important. We matter, no matter what the world thinks. And the world's standard of, well, you'll matter if you do this, is the biggest garbage you ever read. You know, I've seen some of the most ridiculous things on, you know, I'm on social media, and you see some memes are pretty funny, and some you think, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And one of the things I've seen, I saw recently, a couple months ago, I guess, and was about, I don't remember what page it was, but they were talking about the idea of working hard and being successful, and which is not wrong on the surface. But the idea was, the meme said, it was a picture of some CEO, and he said, "Have you worked 100 hours a week? Have you missed, you know, have you worked through Christmas and celebrated, you know, in February? Have you done this, this, and this?" And he says, "I have." And I thought, well, you are not very bright, to put it mildly. What does he sacrifice? He sacrifices his life for financial gain. You know, Christ also deals with that as well. He tells us to not be deceived about by such things. No problem with working hard, but there is a difference being made there. You know, Christ says to not be deceived. You know, covetous. You know, not be covetous and deceived. For man's life is not a. I mean, see if I can find it now. See, I think about these things off the cuff, and I can't remember where it's at. Things he possesses. I'll find it here in just a second. I haven't memorized the Bible yet. Luke 12, verse 15 says, "He said to them, take heed where covetousness for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." You know what that means? Remember the little sign you used to see that says, "Man with the most toys wins"? It means that sign is wrong. That's what it means. Christ says it's not about possessions. The guy says you should work 100 hours a week, skip, you know, all these other family times, and work hard and make up for it later in life when you're wealthy. Later in life, those people who you gave up and walked away from are not going to be there. If there's ever a quote-unquote later in life, right, when you've reached that goal or whatever. But if you look here in Luke 12, verse 15, he says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." When you're working all the time, not to provide for your family, but to secure all this monumental wealth that most of the time these guys aren't even going to use, or they're going to go broke later because they go to retirement and they get all drunk and do all these other drugs and die, and they're going to die without anything. You don't believe that happens. One thing, Mike Tyson, age of 50, is trying to get back into boxing because the man is broke. That's why he doesn't have any of those. All that money he gained when he's younger is gone because he was not very smart with it. You go back here and look at Luke 12, verse 15. He says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life," I notice, "does not consist and the abundance of the things he possesses means our life is not bound up in how much do we have, who has the biggest house, who has the nicest car, all those types of things. You know, they don't matter. Is it wrong to have a nice house? No. Is it wrong to work hard? No. Is it wrong to work a little overtime from time to time? Well, no. But the difference is, you know, what is our priority? We work hard to provide for families, which the Bible commands and tells us, you know, he doesn't provide for his own household is worse than infidel. That is a stark difference to what we find here about the idea of possessions owning you. We should own our life and not let our possessions try to own us. And Luke 12:15 condemns that. We are not owned by what's around us. We have to remember that. You know, the world keeps pushing and pushing. We look on television, you know, the newest and latest of everything. What just came out, I think it was the PlayStation 5. And I have no problem with people buying those types of things as long as they don't sacrifice, you know, more than they should to attain it. As long as they don't, you know, work 80 hours a week and forsake God for 2 months so they can go and buy the thing. That I have a problem with. But you see, these things are really, really expensive. Again, not wrong in and of themselves, but what do you give up to get it? That's the problem. What do you give up to get it? And so we have to be very, very mindful with that. Now, I'm going to let Brother Matt add anything he'd like before we get ready to close here in just a few moments.
Yeah, like your possessions is how are we gaining our possessions of how am I gaining the PS5? How am I doing these things? And like you said about the CEO working 100 hours a week, well, I'm sorry. Well, that's your problem. That's a you problem, right? As we say. And, you know, seeing these things on social media and whatever you get on and, you know, realize that you have a loving father who loves you for you. Do I work a lot? Sure. To provide for my family. It allows my wife to stay home with our children or whatever. Whatever. And I have no problem with people who, you want to go buy a new car? Go for it. But like you said, what are you doing for it, right? Well, are you giving up your Sundays? Are you giving up your Wednesdays or whenever the elders have appointed a time to meet? That's what I have a problem with. That's getting down into the thick of the weed right there to say, what are you giving up? And I'm not willing to give up on that. I'm not willing to give that up because first day of the week is we go worship God the Father. And Wednesday Bible studies are, man, to get you back and fulfilled and just be like ready to face the day. But I think when we get lost in the effect of, man, I got to keep working because I need this. I need this new boat. I need this thing. I need this new car. I need this big, huge house. And then you get it and you attain it and you're like, okay, now what's the next thing? It's always the next thing, right? So I think we just need to realize is we have to find contentment in God.
Yeah, because like you said, there's always the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. There's always something else. And that's how the world is. And that's how materialism is. It pulls us in. And we think about, like we talked about today, the self-image, self-esteem. And next time we'll get to a little bit talking about ego and those types of things. We can control all of those things, but we have to have the proper guide. And the Word of God is that guide. So we're going to stop there today. We do thank you for being here with us on Mornings of the Masters for the Uncensored Dads and Uncensored Word segment. And we hope to see you again here next time.